Good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Steve Boak. I'll be reading from the story, page 358, the second last paragraph, in your regular Bibles, John 11, verse 1 to 15. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Thanks, Steve. Well done. Last week, I quoted Jesus as saying that he was, where Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And I saw, preparing for this message, how each of the 3 Sundays in which we are taking up the account of Jesus, how they correspond to those 3 points. Last week, we had so much of the teaching of Jesus. What is the right kind of life to live? And that corresponds to Jesus as the way. Well, this week, it is about the identity of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as the one who has come from heaven. And so, bringing forward the question, can we trust him? Is he who he says he is? Is what he says the truth? So today is about his identity. And next week, Sunday, is about Jesus rising from the dead. And of course, that matches up perfectly with Jesus as the life, the way, the truth, and the life. So today is the truth here in this middle Sunday. Now, today, appropriately, is Palm Sunday for what we are going to talk about. Because on this day, Jesus fulfilled what had been prophesied in the Old Testament as the way in which you can recognize who the Messiah is. He will be somebody who enters into Jerusalem from the east gate riding on a donkey. And the people were all very much aware of this. And here was this Jesus who had done all of these signs and wonders. And on the Passover week, which was the day when thousands of Jews made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem to be there for the Passover feast, they were all crowded into the city, and in comes Jesus riding on a donkey. And they proclaim that this is the one they've been waiting for with their loud hosannas and their songs. And of course, there were a few in the background. You can see them in the top left who are not too happy about this Jesus taking over from the enthusiasm of the crowds from where it was supposed to be in these religious leaders. But there is everybody, and they are proclaiming that here he is, the Messiah. And Jesus receives this praise because he is. He is the one that the Old Testament has prophesied. And he is coming in to the city in this way in order to make the statement that I am the Messiah. Now, 5 days later, at Jesus' trial before Pilate, these same crowds are chanting out, "Crucify him." And the fault, of course, was not Jesus's, as if he had claimed to himself something that did not belong to him. but that the crowds had recognized that this Messiah was not going to save them in the way that they wanted to be saved. And they felt betrayed. And it would take time to realize that Jesus had come to save us from the sin in our heart, and that he must die and rise again in order to carry out that messianic purpose. So a critical question with regard to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life is whether one is willing to believe in him. Is he the truth? Is he really who he says that he is? It is a critical part of what we have been reading. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So there it is. All that we must do is believe in him, and we will receive salvation. That is the grace and the mercy of God the Father. We do not need to prove ourselves worthy. Rather, we must trust in the person who is worthy, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, here is one kind of belief. We all believe that Ottawa is the capital of Canada. But it is a very different thing to say, do we believe in Ottawa as the capital of Canada? We believe that Justin Trudeau is our prime minister. But do we believe in Justin Trudeau as our prime minister? That is a very different thing. And so there are two kinds of belief. And the first is just a statement of fact. We believe that this is true. But the second involves a commitment of trust in the thing that we are believing in. And it is this trust in Jesus that brings about our salvation. Now, the story that Steve Boak read is from John 11, and in it, the word belief gets used a lot. And that's why, for the rest of the sermon, I'd like to focus on that story in order that we might learn some things about what it means to put our trust in a person and what it means to put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Messiah. At the very start of the story, Lazarus is very sick. And so his two sisters, Mary and Martha, send a message to Jesus saying, "Come quick and heal him before he dies." The message comes to Jesus, and instead of coming quickly, he delays. He waits 2 days before he does anything. And then he says to his disciples, "Well, now is the time to go to Lazarus and wake him up because he has fallen asleep." And the disciples say, "Well, if he's sick and now he's sleeping, then maybe he'll get better and we shouldn't wake him up." Well, then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So there's something else going on in the story. It's not just about solving the problem of Lazarus being sick and dying. Jesus is using this opportunity in order to teach about belief and in order to encourage belief and in order that belief might happen. So Jesus, if you noticed, I noticed when I was reading the chapter in the story, has already said several times that he's going to die and that he's going to rise back from the dead. I was surprised how many times Jesus had said that. Surprised because when we get to the actual point of Jesus being arrested and being put on the cross, the disciples seem to have entirely forgotten about that part, and they have fled. But it is there everywhere. Jesus is saying to them, "I'm going to die. I'm going to rise from the dead." But they don't believe it. And so here is a case where they go to Lazarus, and Jesus is going to say, "I have the power to raise people from the dead. Death is not an ultimate problem." So I suspect that's in the background here, so that you may believe. Believe not only that I have that power, but that when I say I'm going to rise from the dead, it's going to happen. So Jesus approaches Bethany, and this is the hometown of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The town is on the Mount of Olives. And before Jesus gets there, Martha runs from the house and comes to Jesus and says to him, "You're too late. If you had Lazarus has died. If only you had been here a little bit sooner, you could have healed him, and then he would not have died." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Martha, there's a lot of things she does not say there. She doesn't have it figured out how this thing is going to happen. It is a wonderful statement of someone just putting their trust in a person. She is probably still upset with Jesus for having been too late. She does not know how this is going to work out. She is probably even still thinking in her mind, "If only I'd been in charge, I would have worked this thing all out differently." But at least she says this, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." She has put her faith in a person, and she doesn't know the details of how this thing is going to be worked out, but she understands that in this person is the answer, and she is going to follow along and see what happens. So they then proceed to the tomb where Lazarus has been laid. And now Mary comes out to meet Jesus and says the same thing that Martha did. "If only you had come sooner, Lazarus would not have died." They come then to the tomb, and Jesus gives this command, "Roll away the stone." And Martha is horrified. She says, "Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days, and the odor of death will be awful." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" The very next word in this passage is the very short word, "so." And it is there to say that if you are going to believe, there is going to be something that you are going to do. So, something happened. It is this. So, they took away the stone. You see, what the reasonable and sensible thing to do here would be to leave the stone on the cave to keep the smell in. That is the sensible and reasonable thing to do. Unless you believe in Jesus and he says, "Roll away the stone." Because if you're going to believe, then there is going to be a so. And here it is. They roll away the stone. Then Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus comes out. And Jesus says, "Take off the grave clothes." So they take off the grave clothes. Mary and Martha are reunited with their brother, and there's a great reunion with all the people who dearly loved Lazarus. He is alive. Next. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. There is now another little word that comes next. And that "but" indicates that there are some who did not believe in him, but rather they went and told the Pharisees what had happened. And this raises the interesting question. These people who are on the side who did not believe, did they believe that Lazarus had come alive? Did they believe that Jesus had risen, raised Lazarus from the dead? Well, they did believe that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. We know that because later that we have the Pharisees and the religious leaders plotting to get Lazarus dead again. It's part of the humorous thing of this whole story. We can't have a living Lazarus walking around. He's got to be dead. So they plot to kill him the second time. So obviously they believed that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But they are in the category of those who did not believe in him. So we have this. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." So the Pharisees are in a dilemma here. They can see that if people believe in Jesus, then their own privileges and their own power, which are held in place by an agreement with the Romans, that these things will be taken away. So they're deeply threatened by Jesus. And even though they know that Lazarus is alive again, they know that Jesus did this great miracle, they will refuse to believe in him. And we know that because they side against Jesus. They do not side with him. On the recent holiday that my wife and I went on, we saw across the channel from where we were this abandoned village that was on an island, and it had been abandoned about 70 years ago, and we wanted to go see it. So we found a boat with a captain who agreed to take us across the channel in order to see this abandoned village. Well, the way it was in that place is that the ocean was, the coast was very, very rocky. And everywhere where the waves of the ocean would crashing up against rocks that were visible and invisible, and the plume of the water would spray way up in the air. And so it was just a very dangerous kind of place. And if we had decided, well, let's get our own boat and we will get over to that island there, I am sure that we would have all died because we simply did not know where the rocks were or even how to pilot a boat. We were from Alberta, landlocked Alberta. So we entrusted ourselves to a captain of a boat. He said, "I'll take you over there, no trouble. He knows the lay of how things are. He knows how to control a boat." And because we trusted in the captain of that boat, so we got in the boat. If our trust had been misplaced, if this captain had boasted that he could get over there, but in fact he was as bad at controlling ships as we were, then of course, it's not just a technicality that we had believed that he can control this boat. The whole thing would have come to a horrible end because we had got in the boat with him. As it was, he did know what he was doing. He took us over there as calmly as could be, took us calmly back. The only thing that he could not fix was my own seasickness the whole time. I did notice in the little ship's cabin there that he had this picture beside the wheel there, and my mom hung that picture up over my bed when I was a kid. And I had not seen it since then. And so it was a nice surprise just to see that picture there that I remembered from when I was a kid. And there is the captain putting himself in the trust of the Savior Jesus himself. So he is believing in somebody too. Well, Jesus is offering to be the Savior to those of us who find that we are not very good pilots of our own boats. And I have heard people talk about their lives ending up in shipwreck because their own decisions and their own course and their own ways that they choose have led to terrible ends. And that is a very good point to turn over control of the boat to Jesus. To believe in him as the captain of our soul. He does it much better. He is a much better captain. And to believe is to say, "Lord Jesus, take control of the boat of my life. And he does. And then to actually get in the boat with him. That's to believe in him. So like the friends of Lazarus who carried out the so of belief and so rolled away the stone, so also must we give over control of our life to Jesus, who is the much better captain, and let him direct us where we should go. And when he points over there, then we head over there because we trust in him. And like the Pharisees, and not like the Pharisees and religious leaders who did not like where Jesus was going, we must side with him and say, this is the man who is the future. This is the man who will lead us out of our troubles and our problems. And to go, and when he points in a direction that we've never gone before, to say, all right, that's the right way to go. That's where the rocks not are not. That is the safe route. We've never done this before. I have never gone in this direction before, but Jesus knows, and I will trust him. That's belief. To believe in Jesus. It takes some courage. It takes some trust. It takes some action to roll away the stone when he says to do so. But it is that belief that brings about the rescue that we most need. Let me say at the end here that if you have never believed in Jesus, if you have never trusted in him, or if you are someone who you know that you are in need of renewal of belief in Jesus, there are doubts inside you. Let me say to you that Jesus is a good and true and trustworthy captain of your heart and your life and your soul. He knows what he is doing. He has power. He is the resurrection and the life. He will show you his glory just as he promised Mary and Martha. And you may suffer spells of seasickness in your life with Jesus. And there may be rocky waves. But that doesn't matter for the captain who is at the wheel. He will take you to where you need to go. And it will be good. So I say to you, give your life to him. He is alive. He knows you. He loves you. And he will bring you safely home. So pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, we know that you are the truth. And we entrust ourselves to you. We believe in you. We know that you are a good captain, trustworthy and true. And Lord, as we go about life, we experience this seasickness, doubts. Things come up and we wonder, what's going on? We don't understand. But Lord, may we just remember that you are still at the wheel. You are as calm as can be. You know exactly what needs to happen. And you will bring us safely to where our destination is. We look for your glory. And we long to see you do great things among us, just as you did for Mary and Martha. And so we will follow you wherever you go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pierces. here.